Welcome. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. So let's start with an article from AARP, the magazine, having to do with traveling. You want to give your mental health a boost? Which would you be more likely to pursue? Gather lots of family, fire up the grill, and laugh away the blues. Consider a cruise that caters to multi-generational groups. Why? Families have become a key market segment for the industry, so large ships are sure to offer activities throughout the day that appeal to different ages. Water slides, live game shows, go-kart tracks, bingo sessions, and more. But it isn't all fun and games. You'll also find more refined options like world-class spas, intimate dining venues, adults-only lounges with private cabanas, and Broadway-style shows that work for parents and grandparents. Cruises are the best multi-gen vacations, especially lines like Royal Caribbean or Princess Cruises, says Allison Amini, a San Diego-based travel advisor with Novel World Travel. Their ships have something for spending time together as a family and apart as individuals. Onboard activities like scavenger hunts and mini golf are great for family bonding. But when everyone wants some alone time, Grandma can head off to the spa while Dad enjoys a dip in the adults-only pool, and the children go to the kids club. Or book a table for yourself and your amour at a favorite restaurant. Consider a ship for couples. Why? Luxury lines like Regent Seven Seas, Seabourn, and Silver Sea cater to those traveling without children, so you won't find any kids' clubs or water slides here. Some cruise lines even prohibit teens and younger children from sailing, including Viking Cruises, which programs onboard entertainment and shore excursions for the 50-plus crowd, and Virgin Voyages, which aims for a playfully adult environment in which such diversions as drag shows and tattoo parlors. I just got off Virgin's Scarlet Lady. What a hoot, said cruiser Lee Johnson. I wouldn't take my 88-year-old mother because I don't think she would enjoy the entertainment, but my friends and I are all in our 60s, and for my age group, it was fabulous. Or head out on the ocean road or into the wild on your own. Consider a solo trip. Why? Historically, cruise lines haven't chartered to individual travelers, charging them a hefty premium to occupy a cabin meant for two. But that's changing. Norwegian Cruise Lines made a big splash announcing nearly 1,000 new solo rooms across its 19-ship fleet, says SeaTrade Cruise News Kalosh. Some of these ships have a studio lounge with key card access for solo guests only. Also consider where the buys are. Fare sales can pop up almost any time of the year. But the trick to getting a good deal is understanding what a cruise to a given region or on a given cruise line typically sells for. So take some time to become an expert. The Points Guys Sloan advises tracking prices on cruise line websites to see if fares are rising or falling, and also watching for promotions like cabin upgrades or kids cruise free. Many lines will throw in free gratuities, Wi-Fi, onboard credits, and the like to boost sales, Sloan says. Just know that they do these promotions all the time. If you're not ready to book, you can wait a couple of months or weeks until they run another. And here's thinking about dining at an all-you-can-eat buffet. Did you like it? So, it was a great deal. I could pay one price and load up my plate with what I wanted. Explore a cruise with an all-inclusive package. Why? There's no question that some cruise lines have earned a reputation for tacking on fees, charging extra for drinks, Wi-Fi access, shore excursions, and more. But all-inclusive fares can prevent surprises. These are mostly in the luxury sector, Crystal, Regent, Seabourne, and Silversea. To me, the best part of all-inclusive pricing is not constantly having to worry about how much you're spending on your vacation, says travel advisor Amini. Instead, you can sit back, relax, and enjoy that second margarita, knowing everything's already paid for. Sandy Valente, a Fort Lauderdale, Florida-based travel advisor, notes that with the average cost of a cocktail at $12 to $15, for example, a la carte pricing can add up. All-inclusive works for the person who likes a set budget and set dollar amount, she says. It's not just alcohol. Most cruise lines don't include things like smoothies, soft drinks, or cappuccinos. It's a mind game you have to break down. Or, I would rather just paid for the specific choices I made at the time. So, with that, you consider a standard cruise with pay-as-you-go options. Why? Those who carefully manage their budget can save money on a cruise, although the math can be complicated, with port fees and taxes, automatic gratuities, shore excursions, the cost of every drink beyond coffee or water, and sometimes dining surcharges and other fees. You can come out ahead with careful planning. We've done the booze package on a big cruise ship, and we drink, says cruiser Deb Susie. But we did an Excel spreadsheet after and found it would have been less expensive to sign for and pay for each drink. And finally in this section, when you open the curtains in the morning on vacation, which would you prefer to see? Beautiful views of nature that you can savor over a cup of coffee? Consider splurging on a balcony cabin. Why? It used to be that cruise ships offered mostly cramped cabins with a porthole. In industry parlance, an ocean view cabin. Now, cabins may feature private verandas with fresh air and great views, but at a higher cost. These can be worth it if the cruise is through a scenic area. American Cruise Lines vessels, for example, travel on rivers and along the Alaskan coast. Silversea vessels are known for deluxe accommodations, including corner suites with wraparound balconies on two ships. Or, the sight of your rental car waiting to take you to your next adventure? Consider a limited view cabin. Why? My top tip for value is to save on the cabin and spend on excursions, said Elaine Glusek, who writes the Frugal Traveler column for the New York Times. Cabins that have a limited view or even no view at all cost considerably less than those with an exterior balcony. You can have a great cruise from an inside cabin, says Glusek, because you're really only using it to shower, change, and sleep, and they're always the cheapest accommodations on ships. Also consider, how long should you go? The most common cruise itinerary is 7 nights, a loop in which the ship returns to the same port from which it set sail. Some of the most popular trips from the U.S. are to the Caribbean and Mexico from Miami or Fort Lauderdale, to Mexico from Southern California, or to Alaska from Seattle. But shorter or longer trips are also available. A 3 to 5 night cruise, think of it as similar to a long weekend in Las Vegas. These cruises tend to appeal to more budget-focused passengers who are looking to pack a lot of partying into the trip. Or a cruise that's 2 weeks or longer. These trips tend to appeal to vacationers who are interested in relaxation, because spending more days at sea typically allows you to unwind better. You can also reach more remote parts, or call on longer cruises, or even take a long trip that goes through the Panama Canal. Now, let's go on to the main topic for this AARP, the magazine, and that's risk. It's everywhere, it's unavoidable, but you can cut its impact on your cash with this four-part plan. Part 1, savings risk. Investing for the nervous investor. Two tactics for securing your long-term savings and sleeping better at night. Want absolute, nearly 100% protection for your retirement stash? Secretly install an unmovable, indestructible safe in a dark corner of your home and put the cash there. But that's not very wise, is it? There are the temptation issues, of course, having all those bills so close by. But more so, there's inflation, which diminishes that stash's buying power over time. At current inflation rates, if you were to pull a $100 bill from that safe 10 years from now to go to the store, it would buy you only what you could get with $72 today. If you don't want your money to lose value, putting your cash into the stock market gives you your best shot at having your savings grow the fastest, but it also exposes you to the risk of big losses. So, with high inflation on the one hand and a potential stock market crash on the other, is there anything you can do to lessen the anxiety that these risks provoke? I'm here to say yes. In fact, I have two options designed to protect against both inflation risk and stock market rise. Let's take a look. Now, before we do that, there is a sidebar with this page. I'm going to do that one first. How not to stay safe. Some investments don't protect wealth as well as people believe they will. Gold. It's often pitched as a protection against inflation. The gold I bought in 1980, however, hasn't come close to keeping up with inflation. Cryptocurrency. Just ask someone who held their crypto in the ostensibly safe FTX exchange before $8 billion of the money evaporated. High yields. Stocks with big dividends, junk bonds, and private real estate deals might offer high income, but pose a bigger risk of losing your capital. Now let's move on. The intermediate strategy. Divide your retirement cash. If the prospect of investing in stocks terrifies you, here's a way you can get some of their returns without the risk of losing money. You split your retirement stash in two, putting one part into the stock market and the rest in an ultra-safe investment that will preserve your cash no matter how badly stocks perform. This strategy lets you relax, since you know you'll get all or most of your money back if stocks take a dip, which they often do. Step 1. Make a commitment. Decide how much money you want to invest and how long you can comfortably set it aside. Be thoughtful about this, because if you have to access the money early, you'll give up your protection against losses. Step 2. Buy your safe investment. Once you've decided on the amount you'll commit, buy a U.S. government bond that will pay you back that amount in the time frame you've chosen. Let's say I've decided to invest a total of $10,000 for 10 years. As of late January, 10-year zero-coupon treasury notes, which you can buy from brokers, are yielding 4.28% annually. The interest on zeros, as they're known, is reinvested, so their total return is typically higher than that of a T-note. I plug that information into a tool I use, the Risk Reduction Calculator, at depositaccounts.com/tools/reduce-risk.ASPX. It tells me I need to put $6,576 of my initial investment into T-notes in order to get back $10,000 in a decade's time. So I buy $6,576 in zero coupon T-notes. Step number 3, invest in the market. Put the balance of your initial investment in a low-cost stock fund and forget about it for 10 years. I like investing in low-expense index funds, so I'd put the remaining $3,424 of my $10,000 investment into an all-U.S. stock fund like Fidelity Zero Total Market Index Fund, Vanguard Total Stock Market ETF, or Schwab Total Stock Market Index Fund. The result, if after a decade the stock market has gone to zero, I'll get my $10,000 back. Anything better than that, even if the market posts massive losses, I would make a profit. And step 4, take a little risk. I'm a very cautious investor, but unless Martians invade, even I don't think that all U.S. stocks will go zero in 10 years. a more likely worst-case scenario would be the market losing half its value in a decade, roughly what happened in the Great Depression. So, using numbers pulled from that same calculator, I would invest $4,899 in a T-note and the rest of my $10,000 in stocks. If the market fell 50% and stayed there, I still end up with $10,000 between my two investments. And if stocks approached their 9% annualized historical returns, I would have nearly doubled my money. And there's a sidebar, see safer stock investing, which we will look at in a minute. Some fine print. You have to reinvest all stock dividends, which you can do automatically. If these investments aren't in a tax-deferred account, such as a traditional IRA, you'll likely owe some taxes on them each year, even if you aren't pulling money from your account. Certain insurance company annuities can also capture some stock market gains while protecting you against losses, but they come with multiple fees that eat into much of these stock returns. And annuity guarantees often come as future payouts that can be eroded by inflation rather than as an immediate cash payment. Now, this sidebar, safer stock investing. Putting $10,000 in a mix of stocks and T-notes can protect against losses. Here are investment results in different scenarios. So we have over the next decade stocks, portfolio value in 10 years, and your investment's annual return. So if stocks over the next decade drop 50%, you have $10,000 in your portfolio and your investment's annual return is zero. If they only drop 25%, the value would be $11,275 and the return would be 1.21%. If they go nowhere, the value in 10 years would be $12,550 and your return would be 2.30%. If they grow 8% annually, then in 10 years you would have $18,462 and your annual return would have been 6.32%. So there's one more part in this section, the advanced strategy, buy inflation-proof investments. No one knows how bad inflation will be in years ahead. Will it settle back to under the 2.5% rate, where it stayed for most of the 2000s and 2010s, or will it go higher? I have no idea. What I do know is that there's currently a risk-free way to beat inflation. As of last January, you could earn a return that would be 1.85 percentage points annually higher than whatever inflation turns out to be. The way to do it is to invest in Treasury inflation-protected securities, TIPS. They are issued by the U.S. government, and most make regular investment payments until they mature, at which point investors get their principal back, adjusted for inflation. See UltraSafe Cash from Uncle Sam above, which we'll look at in a minute, for more on buying TIPS and other Treasury securities. A 10-year TIPS, as I write this, will increase your money's spending power by 20.1% before taxes. Once you execute the strategy by buying TIPS, you need to have the courage to do nothing with them until they mature. If you sell them before then, you may very well end up with a lower effective yield than what was promised when you purchased them. Be aware that the federal government will tax you annually on the change in your principal's value, even though you won't receive the money until maturity. That's why you might want to hold TIPS in tax-deferred or tax-free IRAs. And the sidebar sales and rates, you can buy these securities directly from the U.S. Treasury at the user-unfriendly treasurydirect.gov website. You can also buy all but Series 1 bonds from a broker, though purchase minimums may be higher than the government's and fees may apply. Find current yields for T-bills and T-notes at treasury.gov. Click on Data, then under Interest Rates, on Daily Treasury Par Yield, Curve Rates. For TIPS yields, select instead Daily Treasury Par Real Yield Curve Rates. For Series 1 rates, visit treasurydirect.gov/savings-bonds. Now let's go over to AARP, the bulletin. We have Build Your Tech Skills. AARP Senior Planet offer digital literacy options. Becoming digitally literate is increasingly necessary for older Americans. To address this need, AARP, in affiliation with Older Adults Technology Services, OATS, has opened its fourth technology-themed Senior Planet Community Center. This one's in Miami. The goal is to give older Americans a place to hone their digital and technological skills. Between 20 to 40% of older adults in America are still not fully online, says Tom Camber, OATS Executive Director. Senior Planet fills that gap. We make it a social mission to provide digital equity and help older adults thrive online. The Miami Center, which joins facilities in Denver, New York City, and Plattsburgh, New York, will be more than a tech hub. It is also intended to serve as a gathering space for people to trade ideas and find others with similar interests. Older adults can be credited for a lot of innovation in tech and art, Camber says. This is a space for them to learn, pursue their projects, and shape their community. The facility will host weekly multilingual classes in technology, health, finance, community, and the arts. One-on-one tech tutoring sessions and tech discussion groups will also be held at the center. There's additional good news. More programs are planned for 2024, Camper says. OATS has other goals for the year, including expanding Senior Planet disaster preparedness programs to educate older adults on the digital tools they can use to communicate and stay safe during a storm. And the group will expand its free licensing program, which allows local organizations to teach Senior Planet classes to older adults in rural communities. For those unable to make it to a facility, Senior Planet offers free online classes every week, ranging from Tai Chi and Spanish to courses on web wearables and online banking. You can find these classes at seniorplanet.org/classes. Also, you can plan your pre-retirement with AARP. Starting retirement planning in your 50s can pay big dividends when the moment arrives, and that doesn't have to be scary. AARP and the Ad Council have launched This Is Pre-Retirement to offer strategies for retirement savings. The campaign's website has tools and resources to help people get free from debt, build an emergency cash fund, and take initial steps to save for retirement. There's also a short quiz that generates a personalized plan that fits your life circumstances. You can create an account online to track your progress. Find what you need at thisispreretirement.org. Now, from AARP, the bulletin, where we stand, the best reason to keep voting, a chance to shape the future for older Americans. The fast approaching presidential election will be, among other things, a referendum on our nation's sacred obligation to ensure the health and safety of older Americans. AARP has begun a year-long nationwide voter engagement campaign that will give those 50-plus all the information they need about when, where, and how to vote, as well as where the candidates stand on the kitchen table issues that matter to all Americans. At the top of the list of issues that will be shaped by the November vote are two that AARP believes are of critical importance. One, protecting Social Security, and two, making sure that family caregivers who sacrifice so much get much-deserved assistance. Between now and November, AARP's efforts to educate voters in all states and territories will focus attention on these issues and build support among candidates we believe will do the best job of protecting Social Security and helping caregivers. Let me tell you what is important. First of all, Social Security is money you earned through a lifetime of hard work. For older Americans, it ensures they can afford everyday expenses such as groceries, gas, and housing. For many, It is their main source of income. In our June 2023 report, 96% of Americans aged 18 and older identified Social Security as an important government program, including 71% who say it is one of the most important programs. Moreover, nearly 3 in 4 Americans say Social Security is even more important now than it was before the economic shocks of COVID-19 and high inflation. That irreplaceable anchor in the lives of many older Americans faces a growing challenge. If Congress doesn't take action to protect and save the program in the next 10 years, your Social Security payments could be cut by 20%, an average of $4,000 a year. The congressional underfunding of the Social Security Administration has also resulted in record-long wait times for people applying for life-saving disability benefits. AARP and its members call on the presidential candidates to join us in demanding that Congress fully fund Social Security operating budget to ensure the agency has the resources to improve customer service. Americans have waited long enough for government action to protect this vital program. AARP is also leading efforts to persuade Congress and state legislators to pass laws that help our nation's 48 million family caregivers. The sacrifices they make to assist their loved ones is incalculable, but you can put a price on the hours of work they devote to caregiving, about $600 billion of unpaid labor. Those efforts add quality to lives and allow millions of older adults to stay in their homes longer. Many family caregivers need our help. We call on elected officials to provide that help, whether through awarding tax credits, cutting red tape, or improving coordination across government and private health care systems. To every candidate on the ballot in November, AARP has this message. Our people, our economy, and our values need your help. Support for Social Security and caregivers is a winning message for you, and the American people deserve and demand no less. Now we have time for a couple of miscellaneous tidbits. 1582, Fool's Gold. In 1582, Pope Gregory VIII introduced the Gregorian calendar, moving the start of the new year to January from April. Those who kept celebrating the old new year were ridiculed as April fools, which led to a new unofficial holiday, historians suggest. Well, folks, we have run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure and listen at the same time next week. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.